All right, good singing tonight. Good to be in the Lord's house. One little announcement. It won't take too long, but the ladies are going to meet real quickly following tonight's service just to discuss some things about meals this upcoming week for our revival meeting. I trust you've been praying about this upcoming week. We don't want to just simply host a meeting. We want the Lord to meet with us, so I trust you've been praying for the preachers, prayers for their safe travels, just praying that the Lord give them the message that He knows that we need to hear. And if we go into it, I believe, with the right heart, knowing that we all stand in need of revival, then I believe the Lord is going to meet that individual need. We don't go into revival praying for someone else's revival. We go into revival meeting praying for personal revival. And, you know, and I tell you, if one person gets it, then chances are others will too. And that's just the way it works. And we're going to look tonight at Matthew chapter 10. Not going to be dealing tonight with the subject of revival, but we're going to deal with this theme tonight, sheep among the wolves. Sheep among the wolves. We'll begin reading in Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 20. But I'll preface in verse 7, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So even back then, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And today we can echo that same sentiment that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is nearer now than it's ever been. Verses 16 through 20, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not that ye speak, but that the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. But tonight our main verse is going to be verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Lord, as we come before you, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that we're able to open it tonight and take a little passage of it and just break it down and apply something from it to our hearts and lives. And I just ask you to do that. Thank you, Lord, for helping me with this over this last week. And I trust it to be a help to your people tonight also. In Jesus' name, amen. We see, first off, we see the word behold. Behold is a small word with great meaning. Whenever you see that, it means to fix attention upon an object or to attend. It's used in this manner for exciting attention when you say behold. So the Lord wanted the attention of the audience, and he wants our attention tonight for what is about to be communicated. This verse is as needed today as it was when it was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why. With as much fighting today that is needed for the cause of Christ, we will either greatly help or greatly hurt the cause of Christ. There is no middle ground. It's a mind-blowing text when we consider how the Good Shepherd is using his sheep. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. It's an amazing thought that Jesus has sent us into the world and for this season has left us not behind enemy lines, but surrounded. We cannot escape to the left. We cannot escape to the right. We cannot escape going down. We can only escape by going up. We fight down here. until we are caught up either by death or the rapture. When you consider John 17, the Lord's Prayer, we know that it was and is the will of Jesus to leave us here for a while. His children to be here on this earth. As dark as it is, there is a work to be done. And in a land where threats are everywhere, moving about amongst the sheep of the living God, you and I have been sent by Jesus into such an environment. To the world, this doesn't make sense. We could probably even add our flesh here tonight when we think about an environment of wolves. Wolves are predators. Wolves are near the top of the food chain. In our minds, we wouldn't send in sheep amongst wolves. In an ordinary situation, sheep don't stand a chance of survival amongst wolves. If I had sheep, the only way I would put them in such a situation would be if I were there to protect them. And Jesus is. I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't feed us to the wolves. We are sent in the midst of wolves, but we have the Good Shepherd who will lead, who will feed, who will guide, and will protect. The survival of the sheep is only dependent upon their shepherd. Just as David killed the lion and the bear in defense of the sheep, just as Jesus defends us from the wolves of the day, God chose sheep because sheep need to be led. Sheep need wisdom. Sheep need discernment. Sheep are needy creatures. So God chose to liken us to animals that are needy. Sheep need a shepherd to go out ahead of them. Sheep need a shepherd to be there with them. See, had God sent us into the earth as a lion, then we would be trying to be king of the jungle more than what we already are at times. He already has enough trouble. Myself, probably chief. He already has enough trouble sending me into the world as a sheep. Later on, a lion. Sometimes we're ready to fight quicker than we ought to be at times. God designed us to be a sheep, and we have instruction to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And I ask you today, are you harmless? I'm sure if we're all honest, we all possess the capability of harm. We all possess that. By nature, we are all harmful in our flesh. We know that real well. We know how to harm. If we live according to the old man, we know how to harm. So the only way for us as sheep to be harmless while possessing our sin nature is by allowing Christ to live through us. Harmful means simply injurious, which would mean to bring injury. Harmless means not hurtful or injurious. Do you know how we know if we contain harm? We know that when we harm others. Whether by action or reaction, that's how we know. If you remember, we looked at how to treat others some time ago and our efforts to help them. It should all come from the place of being for them and not to them. You see, harmful hurts the person. Harmless targets the areas of the person that are in need of adjustment. It's kind of like this phrase here, if you think about it, are people bad or do people do bad things? We should never make someone feel like they are too bad to change. When we see harmful attitudes, harmful words come from us, then we know that the harm inflicted upon others had that origin within us. And if you think about this, when do we most often harm others? First and by far the main reason is in response to being harmed. It takes a spirit-led and spirit-controlled person to not injure in response to injury. Now, I tell you, there are times when I know, say, thank you, Lord, for helping me. And it was my walk at the time. I'm not saying I'm always walking where I should be, but it was my walk at the time that enabled me to handle a situation better than what I would have otherwise. There's also been times where, you know, maybe you're walking with the Lord, but maybe not as closely, maybe not as intimately as you could have been or should have been because we were so easily removed. And we find ourselves in the flesh. But if you injure in response to injury, then in your response, you lose the moral high ground. If you become the aggressor in response to the aggressor, are you not one and the same? The second area that we cause much harm is in the area of contending for the faith and standing up for truth. Yes, we should contend for the faith. And we should stand for truth, and we should speak truth and teach truth and preach truth. But our flesh has no part in this fight. It is the Lord that fights through us, as our flesh should be dead. We've referenced this before, and as we looked at Peter, what happens is like Peter on the night of Jesus' betrayal and arrest, he was offended in the flesh. He wasn't offended in the spirit. He was offended in the flesh. He pulls out the sword, starts swinging it, trying to injure. Peter in that passage fought a spiritual battle in the flesh. Peter loved Jesus. Peter didn't want to see Jesus arrested, didn't want to see him tried, didn't want to see him crucified. And in all actuality, the flesh of Peter was seeking to interfere with the redemption of all mankind. And remember today, we are to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Our flesh contains much harm. And when you and I get in the flesh, we will harm others. We'll also harm ourselves, but we'll also harm others. Jesus has a way of working in the hearts of mankind where it ends up being for them and not to them. But in our flesh, we'll always wage a war that ends up being to them and ultimately not for them. And Jesus knows how to hurt to help. We know how to hurt others in a way that doesn't help. And what I'm saying today is you and I haven't been called to fight. We've been called to die and to allow the Lord to fight through us. I must admit at times that I get this wrong. At times, I'm doing the fighting. There were times early in the ministry, not that I'm incapable of it now, but the Lord had to bring me through seasons. But there were times early on in the ministry that I was doing the fighting. I saw something, I heard something, and I took the initiative that wasn't mine to take. The Christian life is not possible through our own strength. It's only possible as Christ lives through us. And remember today to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. We haven't looked at the wisdom of a serpent yet. We're going to look at that some. But a serpent has a way of blending in. A serpent has a way of working its way in and out of situations. You know, there's a certain amount of wisdom that comes in waiting for the Lord to open up doors and go through those doors, in and out of doors as the Lord opens them up. A serpent has a way with patience. It can stay in one spot for all day, maybe even longer than that. I haven't studied them a whole lot. They're not my favorite creature on the earth. I've not studied them a whole lot. But in everything that God created, there's something to learn from that creation. Serpents, in many ways, set out to mind their own business. You know what? It is true that they're more afraid of you than we are them. As hard as that, I can't imagine that, you know, that a snake would be more afraid of me than me a snake. But I believe it's true. Most of the time, unless you step right on them, they're getting out. They're leaving. They're leaving the area. You've come into their space. They're terrified. They're leaving. You step right on them. Typically, that's when you get bit. But typically, they're about their own business. I'm reminded of the fact when Jesus said that he was about his Father's business. Jesus had no business of his own. His business was God's business. And God's business was his business. All throughout this one verse in Scripture, and when looked at in context with the whole Bible, is Jesus living this life through us, the Good Shepherd. We get in a bind whenever we lose sight of God's business in this world, because God still has a business in this world that he has the chief desire for us to be about. And when we begin to do more harm in the lives of others and those out in the world, whenever we begin to wander off into the weeds of pushing our business on others instead of working God's business, and this all stems from one little detail about serpents. Serpents show some wisdom in keeping to themselves. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us to be harmless as a serpent. We're to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And when we consider doves, You think about that. Spurgeon says, see how Christ explains his own utterance a little further down. Harmless as doves. Then he adds, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. Be like a dove, confident, fearless, gentle, artless, simple, and restful. Do no ill and fear none. Isn't that an amazing thing? Do no ill and fear none. See, many people out in the world will see our meekness and they equate it to fear. There'll be people out there that think, oh, he won't fight. He must be afraid because he won't fight. They may equate our wisdom to fear. They may equate our silence at times to fear. We just looked at David last Sunday. David didn't strike fear in Goliath. Goliath laughed at him. Even in that story, we don't read of an unhinged David. We don't read of a David that is losing his mind. We don't read of a David who is in the flesh. He arrives on the scene without fear as his confidence was in God. He came out ready to allow the Lord to fight through him. He spoke with confidence and faith in God that the Lord was going to come through for him. And then he charged Goliath. And I want to remind us of something today. At the moment that we become unhinged in battle, and at the moment we lose our minds in battle, at the moment we lose our peace in battle, or we lose our cool, so to speak, our composure in battle, we may know that we have the right position, but we have the wrong disposition. In battle, you follow the cool one. And I'm not talking about the hip one. You follow the calm one. You follow the one who still has their wits about them. The one who is seemingly unfazed by what's going on. And I tell you what, that's what we need today amongst Christianity more than ever. We need Christians that have it together because they know who their God is. And there are other believers that other believers can look to and say, you know what? They're not losing their minds. They got it together. Their focus is on God. They're trusting in God. They got faith in God. I can follow them. And I tell you this tonight, then we'll move on to something else. When you stand up without fear, enemies take notice. There are a lot of people who they're predators and they look for easy targets. They just want to fight. You could be unwilling to fight and stand toe to toe with them and just maintain that posture. I ain't scared of you. And most of them will back down. Enemies will back down at times. Friendlies will be more apt to follow you. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So we should be sheep among wolves that aren't scared to be amongst the wolves. See, we shouldn't be scared of the day that we live in. We shouldn't be scared of the people of the day. Because we trust in our shepherd. We're reminded of the fact that the Lord placed us here for this season with the people of this day. As hard as they are to be around sometimes, the Lord has us living at this time right now, at this season. When the Lord fights through us, the fight will take on the characteristics of the way that Christ would fight. Just based off observing the life of Christ, sometimes that's silence. Sometimes that's saying nothing. Sometimes that's fleeing. Jesus didn't stay all the time. He didn't say, I'll fight this whole city. No, he fled as his time wasn't at hand. It wasn't time to surrender yet, which is a whole different story for another time. Sometimes God can use our surrender to a greater degree than he can use our fight. I ask you tonight, are you willing to walk away at times? Are you willing to be quiet? Are you willing to lay down your life essentially as a martyr for the greater victory? You know, sometimes that happens. The greater victory comes through our surrender and not our fight. Sometimes we think, I just absolutely have to. Most of the time, the battles that we fight involve people or situations that we know very well. Most of the time. We're not fighting somebody that we just met. Or we're not putting our foot in our mouths with somebody that we just met at the store. Most of the time, it's with people that we know very well. Most of the time. So we need to recognize that there are times that it would be better to just wait, to just be patient, to just be quiet. We don't always have to speak up. Sometimes if we're not careful, in effort to win battles, we lose the war. Sometimes we get so battle heavy that we forget that sometimes wars are fought over the course of time. They don't have to be won today. They don't necessarily have to be won tomorrow, but it's a series of battles. And I tell you what, these are things that I had to learn early on in the ministry, because like I told y'all, I've told y'all many a times, there was times where I would just fight something out. And, and yes, I had the right position, but wasn't the right time, in the right season, so to speak. At times, it wasn't necessarily in the right way. And these are things that you have to learn. We learned this early on in marriage, too. As two people coming together, different families, different backgrounds. You're just different people. Different people coming together to become one. You're going to disagree. It's natural. You're going to disagree. You're going to have arguments. You're going to get upset with each other. You're going to get upset at each other. At times, you're going to get personal with each other. You're going to take it too far, so to speak, at times. Sometimes that happens. And you know what? We had to learn, early on in marriage that, there's times that, you bite your tongue and you wait for another opportunity. Now, there's times we do that today. Well, sometimes we'll move on from something because it ain't the time to talk about it. Because if we talk about it, it might get a little more intense than what it could have if we just waited. You just wait and talk about it another time. You're not burying it. You're going to deal with it. You just know that, now's not the time. If one of the others is upset about something, and then something happens during that time that the other's upset, it's not the time to talk about it. Just wait. Just wait. And this ain't marriage 101 tonight. I'm just saying. But a lot of times our conflicts come with those that we're the closest to. Mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, husband, wife, those who we are the closest to, and we're the closest to family and our friends. Sometimes we got to be willing sometimes to just surrender what we want to say and trust the Lord. And I'll tell you something else, and then we'll jump off of this. These days, a little bit more, my wife and I pray for each other more than what we did early on in marriage. See, early on in the marriage, we're like, I don't like that. I'm going to fight it out with you. And that now, a little bit more, we're saying, Lord, I don't like that. Lord, I don't like that. I need you to do something about that. I don't like that behavior. I don't like something like that, And we're like, Lord, you take it before the Lord. Or maybe you have this concern, whatever it may be, and you take it before the Lord and you say, Lord, I'm concerned about this. And the Lord has a way of working things out. How many times? It's happened many times where we come together and have a conversation about something that the Lord's been working on in our hearts, and it was something that we were praying for each other for months. It's amazing how the Lord can do things and how the Lord can change people's hearts. If we just trust Him to do the fighting and we quit trying to do all the fighting. We got to get past this mentality when it comes to Christianity that Christianity only advances if we fight. No, Christianity only advances if Christ is allowed to fight through us. That's the only way that Christ gets to fight His way. And it's the way of Christ that will ultimately bring the most honor and glory to Him and advance His kingdom. And you might be saying to yourself or asking yourself tonight, are you telling me not to fight? And I'll say yes. I'm saying let Christ fight through you. When this happens, you fight His way. You fight in His timing. You use His words in His way and His timing. Now, this goes against our grain. I know it does, because we want control. We want our lips. We want our tongue. We want our hands. We want our feet. We want our schedule. We want our timeline. We want control, and we want to fight how we want to, when we want to, with the weapons that we want to. But that isn't the way that God gets the most glory. And that isn't the way that the kingdom of God advances as it could and should. So as difficult as it is for our flesh to comprehend, we are to be harmless as doves. Once again, God likens our mannerisms to an animal that is dependent. Not weak, but meek. We're sent as sheep, and we're to be harmless as doves. And again, the Lord sent us in such a way and likened us to these animals, again, because they're needy. Matthew 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves."